What's up, Fool Podcast? What's up, Fool Podcast? Welcome to the What's Up, Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza and my co-host of the year, Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
And over here with Facts, Lisa Esparza. What's up, Fool?
What up?
You got Aaron over here looking at Prince Charming over here, chilling. Don't press the Charming. All right. Upcoming shows, upcoming shows, tonight. Is this going to air, we're going to release it tomorrow or we're going to wait till Friday?
Friday morning.
All right. Tonight, February 1st through the 3rd. That means actually.
The 2nd.
We're in Naples, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club. February 11th, Oakland, California, at the Paramount Theater, part of a big show with G. Ray Davis, Preacher Lawson, Bruce, Fortune Feenster. February 14th, Corpus Christi, Texas, at American Bank Center with Raymond Orta and Rodrigo. February 27th, Lemoore, California, at Tachi Casino. Only 65 tickets left. February 23rd, Las Vegas, Nevada, at Treasure Island Casino. February 24th, Rochester, Washington, at the Luggage Casino. I didn't know there was a Rochester in Washington.
Lucky Eagle.
What did I say?
Lucky Casino.
Tickets are now on sale for my two Los Angeles shows now. March 23rd at the Novo Theater, downtown LA, because they're almost sold out. We're adding two more shows on Saturday, March 24th, 7 and 10. Tickets go on sale today, February 2nd, at AXS.com. Also, opening up the show will be Mezcalito.
East of the River.
I was going to say that.
I'm sorry.
Well, stick to the facts. East of the River. They're a big group, huh, Lisa?
Yeah, well, it's several different rappers that work independently, but they are performing together.
They're excited? Okay.
Yeah, they're very excited.
Right?
Yeah. Lots more dates. Check out FelipeWorld.com/tour, people. I forgot my All Things Comedy bag yesterday, last time.
We'll get it today.
Somebody should go in them now. I want to see it right there.
The door was closed last week. Eh?
I know, man. They locked us out.
The boss came.
But I have bad news. What? They're going to give one of you a backpack and one of you a suitcase.
I don't fuck that. We don't want nothing now. I'll just keep my away bag. No, we're going to flip a coin. Rodrigo, you can have the suitcase.
They don't big have suitcase. That many,
hey, give me the mug, eh?
You know what? I'll just take the fucking sticker.
How about that?
I'm going to promote my bag now.
Not my bags. That's singularly. Weak.
I better not see a comedian with two of everything, man. I would be pissed.
You will, dog.
If I see a comedian from his podcast with both bags, I'm going to take one of their bags at the airport. So, man, Dean Del Rey, you better not have two bags.
Oh, buddy, I got four, man. One for my guitar and my DJ case.
I'm fine when you're opening, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, man. I do the after shows like Russell Peters now. I'm spinning vinyl, bro. More bullshit, man.
Who said that? Rodrigo did.
That's funny, man. You know, I take a bag from someone who's not going to take a bag, like Fraser Smith.
What do I need that for, buddy?
I only have one suit.
It's over there at KLOS.
Yeah, with shout out to Fraser Smith for having me on his show on Kellaway.
How was that?
It was good, bro.
You
always know when Mel wrote the jokes.
Mel Garcia, dog.
He laughed like the joke man, bro.
Oh, like Jackie the Joke Man.
You could hear it building before the jokes even finished.
Wait up for the laugh track over here.
What's up, Fool? We just got back from Tucson, Arizona. Tucson was amazing. It was hot.
It was just the last day, dude.
The last day was hot. We were there with Murr.
And that's what I'm saying, you know?
It's what do you mean the last day? You guys were there for less than 24 hours.
The last night. Oh. The last day in the morning was real hot.
Yeah, we're out there on the patio, and the sun was shining on y'all hardcore. Right, I'm turning into Comanches.
Yeah, man. Even the sun wanted to hit.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. It's funny, man. Like, when we're flying, there's always, like, people who think they could just tell me or tell one of us where to stand and where to grab stuff. Like, the stupid-ass man. Like, when we were standing there with our bags, he tried to tell Johnny Rocket, could you move to the side so we could see so I could see my bag. You know, it helps expedite everything, right? And I looked at the guy and I said, man, just shut up.
Oh, fucking Southwest representative.
We're gonna move. We're gonna move for you, and we the three of us blocked his view.
Your stupid hat.
Just tell nobody to move. Fuck you. Stop giving orders. Let me tell you, man. If you're somebody, you're somebody, and somehow you don't like the way things are going, don't try to give people orders if you don't fucking work for the airline. Don't tell somebody, please move. No. You move, asshole. Man, what a fucking idiot, huh?
Everybody wants to be a hall monitor, huh?
I know, man. That fool looked like Ronald Reagan with no career.
Like, you know, like little Sears get up and shit, cheap ass little hat, little stupid shorts.
Carrying a big old painting. Remember?
I know, huh? What's he got there? He has a Pollock.
I think he bought a pool table, bro. He bought a pool table from the park.
You ever see those people that had a pool table? They always have the little painting of the dogs all playing poker. Oh, man.
Everybody I know him that has that photo has more friends than he does. What's up, fool? Tucson, Arizona. We got picked up by a guy named Duke.
Duke of Earl.
Big old Mexican named Duke.
Yeah, named after Duke Snyder, right?
Yeah, because his father used to go to the Dodger game, bro, and watch him batting practice.
Hell yeah, man. Don't sell Oxycontin in Arizona because each pill is a year in jail.
Damn. That's funny, man. This driver, when we get picked up at places, this is the way every driver from every comedy club should act. But yeah, this guy worked for the casino. As soon as he picked us up, he said, you guys need to go anywhere. Walgreens, pick up a toothbrush, pick up deodorant. No? Okay. If you need to pick up a toothbrush after I leave, call me. I'll go get it, and I'll bring it to you guys. If you guys need anything, a broken hooker, anything. I mean, by some reason you need condoms after the show, let me know ahead of time. I'll go get them and bring them back. This guy was on it, man. Not like that pussy-ass fool from the fucking Denver Improv.
I got a date, guys. I got a date with a girl, okay? I can't take you to the store,
okay?
This guy
can't even take us to the gas station to pick up our soda on the way to our hotel room.
We have to go to Taco Bell.
I have a date. And we thought this guy was gay all week. And he knew that we thought he was gay all week. Because as soon as he said, I have a date, I said, there you go. And he looked at us and said, "It's a guy. It's a woman, guys.
It's a girl, guys. Okay, I've known her for a long time."
Let me tell you, man. Anybody that has to tell me that it's a woman, it's not a woman. First of all, this guy was talking about like Dylan Garcia. Like, he was God.
He's the next one, guys.
Yeah, I'm bringing him back twice. Of course you are. We have a crush on him, bro. Of course you bring him back. You bring him back for less.
Slashing prices.
I went when I get somewhere and then the owner or somebody tried to bring up another Latino comedian or any other comedian that was there and they're not like at the same level, like this guy got 100 people to show up for free though.
Hell yeah. He's been grinding for 6 months.
Grinding hard. What's up, fool? Almost broke the speaker on this.
So with that crack.
Yeah, man. So how you been, man?
I'm good. I seen you yesterday.
Yeah.
Dude, you guys watch the Grammys or no?
Hell no.
Neither did I.
Dude, I was listening that Hillary went up there and spoke.
She was reading that book you got, fool.
I don't understand, bro. What is that going to do with the Grammys? How is that going to help anything, dog?
Let it go, bro.
Let it go, man. You lost. Yeah. He didn't win the popular vote, but he won the vote that counts. The electoral. Let it go. I mean, I don't know. It just makes everybody look bad.
Fire and fury over here.
I know everybody was dressed up like I think they were wearing white.
The roses came in the packets, no?
For what?
I don't know. Sexual assault, misconduct, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, the same thing as the team Time's Up Me Too movement or Me Too movement that they were doing for the SAG Awards or whatever, the Golden Globes.
Heard that full bomb, dog. The host.
Who was the host?
James Corden.
Oh, he bombed everywhere, dude. That guy's not funny.
Well, dude, there's a big old article of 115 ways that James Corbin is not funny. Eh?
Wow.
Oh,
Britain,
really?
From Britain. There was a tweet, and I opened it up, but I forgot who posted it up. But it's all the way from Britain to L.A. to this show.
Yeah, like, somebody at CBS needs to read that. He is not funny.
But he's white and he's British, so he's safe.
Opened up with a Weinstein joke. Yeah. What a genius, you know?
Was he a stand-up comedian in London or whatever somewhere?
I don't know.
No, look, his head's turning. Supposedly he's just a personality, right? An actor?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't write that monologue.
Because I know that he was on some show that's on Amazon that before his show.
With Another Fool, right?
Another Fool, yeah, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, man.
You watched that show, Little Britain?
Oh,
it's funny, dude. It's funny, dude. I love that fat, weird fool.
I gotta get into it.
That guy's hilarious.
I gotta get into it.
Him and that chubby girl from that singing.
Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
Is that a classic British show from like the 80s or is it pretty current?
No, it's current.
It's current, okay. Man. She would have been 100 now.
Jerry's all into it, dude. I watched one episode.
The guy looks like him, bro.
I like the In-Betweeners. Is that coming back?
Oh, yeah. In-Betweeners. Really no, it's not coming show. Back. In-Betweeners is funny.
British, too?
Yeah, dude.
Who's in that?
Nobody you know. It's hilarious.
What's it about, fool?
A bunch of horny-ass teenagers.
Yeah, these boys. Is it an all-boys school they go to?
No, it's all mixed co-ed? School.
Yeah. But they're in, like, high school, and then they go into college.
And then there's one young dude that, that fool came from a private school, like a real richy private school, to go to that little private school.
But his family lost their money, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, their family lost their money. And so I guess he has to go to that. So that fool dresses up all like a little insurance.
Like
salesman.
He's going to prep school with the little.
And they start banging on him jacket. Right away, dog. Yeah. And then when his mom drops him off, everybody tries to be his friend because his mom is hot.
Yeah.
So every time they say bye, they always say bye, Miss Jones.
That's funny, man.
So it's a bunch of kids trying to get laid in high school.
Yeah, just trying to get. Okay. It's like a Porky's, but English. But it's a series of like 4 seasons or something, right?
BBC or what?
Hilarious. But not as good as Black Mirror. Have you got into that?
I haven't even seen it yet. What I did see, though? The Polka King.
Is it funny?
It's hilarious, dog.
I am Polka King.
Can't believe he milked him out of $5 million, dog.
I think I could do that, too, right now. I think I could still, like, I think if I were to start a Ponzi scheme with my fans, they would all give me $5,000 each. Like, if I tell them, listen, man, if I tell my fans, listen, man, I'm going to start producing half-hour specials with the hottest Latino comedians and up-and-coming comedians in America. What I need is $5,000 from 1,000 people. And then with that money, we're going to produce 6 specials, and we're going to sell them to HBO, and I'm going to triple your money.
As investors and producers?
Yes. And your name will be on the credits. And you'll get a free DVD. You'll be at the taping.
You'll be
kind of like an eFundMe, but not really.
It's exactly like an eFundMe.
it's like
Kickstarter used to be, like when they were trying to do it for a certain project.
It's like a Ponzi scheme now.
Well, it's not a Ponzi scheme unless you're promising, you're guaranteeing returns for one.
That's where
and
it's fraudulent,
you're paying
right?
off like, investors, new investors. I'm sorry, older investors with new investors' money. That's the Ponzi scheme.
The guy from Scrubs, he had a eFundMe for a movie, bro. He was asking for a lot of money. He promised a lot of stuff. This motherfucker got the money, and he even sent the free shit to people. People were complaining. I didn't even get my fucking free shirt. I sent you $100. I didn't get my fucking button. I sent you $20.
And that, I don't think, was a scam. I think that it was sloppy, you know, done in a sloppy manner. They didn't follow through.
No planning, no nothing.
No planning on how they were going to get these things out to people for the donations.
You know one thing that made me laugh in the Polka King, though? Was his mother-in-law hated the hell out of his ass. But when those old people came over there and talked shit about him, she threw all her food at him. Because she's all, a 12% return. You know you can't get that from the bank. It's only two, you greedy motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So that was hilarious.
Yeah, like when anybody's promising that level of return.
It's made off return promises,
you can't
right?
be.
It's unheard of. How you doing?
And then when the whole time his best friend was fooling around with that chick, mom.
The mom, dude. I was like, ugh, he's gross, dude.
They're both gross.
Ugh.
She was like almost 80, right?
Ugh,
but man, he sweats to the 80 degrees.
Oh, yeah, man.
You are a sweaty ass fool.
Hey, did you see him how he was grabbing those feet?
I couldn't see him no more. I couldn't see that guy being romantic after he sweated that much. He sweated, dude.
Oh, dude.
This fool sweated through a suit. Like Sawako, bro.
Oh, the back
the
was
back.
That's funny.
Yeah, man. So what's up, fool? What we're talking about, man?
Ponzi schemes.
What's up? People getting fired, bro.
Who got fired?
Everybody, bro.
This week or yesterday or today?
Everybody, bro. Like, the way people get fired now, the people that don't just get fired like before, like, they don't just bring you into the room and go, you're fired. Nah, man.
How do they do it now?
Well, it's different, bro. Like, I know that in radio, they just change the keys on your ass.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't work anymore?
No, they still do that. Sometimes when our fob doesn't work, we're like, uh-oh, are we good? We good?
They call HR real quick.
What's up, fool? We got Ceci Valencia, Cece the Mamacita from K-Day and Par 106. Yes.
Two stations, right?
Yeah, two stations right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, because we're, like, my wife, she used to work at a corporate office, you know, and
right. And
I was just talking about how before they would just bring you into the room and fire you. But now that when you're a corporation, it's different because the boss doesn't really have to go there and be a bad guy now. They hire in a group of executives who are professional firers.
Consultants.
Right, Lisa? Your job happened at that, right?
Tell us what happened. Consultants. Well, no, they just bring in consultants to kind of see what everybody's jobs are and who's, you know, how they can make things more efficient. That's how they first.
So what do you do with Part 106? I drive the van and pass off stickers. Fired.
Figure out that you're worthless.
Sometimes that happens, though.
How much do you get paid? Nothing.
It's not just radio. Any sort of corporation like that where they're trying to save money or they're merging and there's extra jobs.
Radio is the most heartbroken one. Because I've heard that the keys don't work. That's fucked up.
It is.
Why does that work?
It's really cutthroat because here's the thing that makes it so cutthroat is you never see it coming. That's the one thing about radio. Like, they can say, hey, how are you? You went to lunch with them the day before. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden, the key card doesn't work the next day. Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Corporate America's cold as hell.
It is. But it is what it is. You know?
Right?
And they don't even tell you these things. Like, one, I don't know if it was a station here in California, or maybe it was, or another station in Arizona where they didn't tell no one, bro.
On the whole station?
And the morning guy, the afternoon guy, the night guy. Once the night shift guy left, everything went to Chinese.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it went from a rock station to a Chinese. And some Chinese people came in, bought all the stations and changed the country station to Paisa station and changed the sports to all news. Boom, bro. They had it all planned out. New DJs, new personalities.
It happens. I was, when I did radio at Wild, we got bought out.
Wild 94?
Wild 96.1, actually, we sold to La Que Buena.
La Buena.
And it flipped formats. And so they came and pulled us all in a meeting on a Thursday. And so we were like, okay, when's the last day for us to be? So we can tell the listeners, like, give us our last day. And they're like, oh, no. Your last day was yesterday. Yeah, and that's just what it was. Yeah. Okay,
Don Cheto fired you.
Right?
Did he wear a new costume? A different hat on.
Yeah, your last day was yesterday. And everybody's like, what? My last day was yesterday? We didn't even know. Yeah.
So you're from Compton?
My family's from Compton. Yeah, I was born in Martin Luther King Hospital.
Damn, MLK. Killer
King. A lot of people know it as Killer King. We moved around a lot, South LA. So
were you living in MLK when it was Santa Barbara?
No.
When I was a little kid, man, Martin Luther King Boulevard used to be Santa Barbara Boulevard.
Oh, wow.
No, I didn't know that. Like Brooklyn
to Chavez? Yeah, they changed Santa Barbara to Martin Luther King, and then they changed Brooklyn to Cesar Chavez.
I was living in Linwood when the 105 wasn't there, though. Remember that?
Yes.
And then, the 105 wasn't there, and then all of a sudden it was like this freeway, and we're like, what? Yeah, so my family moved around a lot.
Yeah, that changed everything right there, man. There used to be a lot of traffic on Imperial to get to the fucking airport.
We used to do our... my back-to-school shopping at Compton Indoor Swap Meet. I loved it.
That's a popular one, right?
Yeah. Very, really, really popular. Right next to Tams. It was like down the street from Tams off of Long Beach Boulevard. But I've lived everywhere from like Watts to Compton to Linwood, Southgate. We moved around a lot. So I'd like to say kind of like South LA is my home.
What made you want to be a DJ or get into that kind of business?
No, I had no idea. I didn't want to do it. You know, I was doing TV, I was hosting a show
Where?
On LA TV. And LA TV at the time was like an MTV for Latinos, you know.
Yeah, I remember the LA TV.
Max, LA TV Live.
For Bundy.
Yes, right there I was doing. And
American Latino, right?
Well, they're doing it now there, but it's not back in the day, like 15 years ago.
It was Latino one, Latino 101. Remember,
Trisha
stuff.
Cruz, yeah. Paul Salcido, back in the day. And I said something about being from the IE on one of my segments, and I caught the ear of a program director out there in the IE, and they hired me over the phone.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was actually kind of cool. And fast forward, this year's my 16th year now in radio.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy because the first 3 weeks I was like, oh, I could do this. And then I was like, oh, I don't like this. This sucks. And I went in and I gave them my my letter of resignation. And I said, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and concentrate on LA TV. You know, thank you for the opportunity. And they're like, no, wait a minute. They're like, we think you got something there. Try it out for 6 months. And if 6 months you don't like it, then give us your letter of resignation. 16 years later, here I am.
You
That's
get a raise?
Crazy.
Major raise.
They gave you a lot of leeway there. Not many people get that.
No.
You passed on the opportunity and they still
wanted me in.
Welcome back. Wow.
And they didn't want to let me go, which is kind of cool because now, like, I love it. It's been 16 years and I work on K-Day and Power, and it's just crazy. Two legendary stations. You know, here in Los Angeles.
You started on K-Day or Power?
I started on K-Day. Love K-Day. K-Day was my dream job. It's always been my dream job as a radio personality. Growing up in L.A., I grew up on the NWAs and the Ice Cubes and the Dr. Dre's and the Pox.
Uncle Jam's Army.
Hey, man, you already know. And so I loved it. But this year, well, a little bit of last year, the end of last year and this year, they started playing with me on, you know, hey, let's have you fill in on Power. And that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm doing the cruise show on Power 106.
How did, what happened? How did Power and Katie get together?
We're owned by a company called Murillo Media.
So it's been owned by the same people?
No. We Katie is owned by Murillo Media, and I want to say, like, maybe in the beginning of last year, it was rumors that Power was up for sale. Mm-hmm. And so our company ended up purchasing Power, and they decided to move us all in the same building. And that's where it went from there. And it's been good because now you have an old school iconic station, which K-Day was the first radio station in the world before any other radio station in the world. So we have, like, the other stations because of K-Day. So you have an iconic legendary station as K-Day. Then you've got an iconic L.A. station like Power 106. So it's a good look.
K-Day was the first station in the world in hip-hop? In hip-hop, right?
General.
They were on AM.
AM, 1580 AM.
1580 AM. That was when that guy used to come on and do the sports switch reels. The Lakers be the game and switch reels. I didn't know what switch reels was. So we had a guy here to explain
the
it to me.
Switch the reels?
I didn't even know that.
Analog.
I don't know shit about radio.
Thank God I didn't have that. Came before my time, but I still understand it.
My brother Angel, he used to love when a guy said switch reels. My brother would start talking and go, switch reels.
You don't know what the fuck he was saying. That's behind the scenes.
That's like that hardcore radio back in the day.
Yeah, because I know that on Howard Stern.
They use carts.
What does she say when she reads? When she reads the news?
Oh, well, she says like B9 or whatever. B9. It's coded, but they used to use old cartridges.
But when she talks, she says, la 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 la, B9.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that because she's reading it or they're going
to
play it?
She's telling somebody to play it.
It's probably like a key. Yeah, and
they've
it's
already,
a cue.
Yeah, they've already pulled them.
Yeah.
That stuff you got to learn when you get there, or you just know?
No, you can learn. You know what? I say you learn when you get there because every station uses different products and just different equipment. So when we went from K-Day and we moved into the same building as Power, we adapted their program, but we didn't use that at K-Day. So they had to do a whole training for all K-Day people to get used to the new equipment. So it's just different for different stations.
So the board, is that something you learn on your own?
No, well, it's something you should be trained. I am the best at
Fool,
the board. I love it.
I ain't gonna lie. When I saw you, I think we did something when I was promoting my HBO special, and I saw you like cutting that shit fast. Like, I'll take care about this. And you
I do all my own.
That shit, it takes skills, man.
Thank you.
I don't know how you do that shit. I don't even know how anybody do it because I know that when Big Dog went to Kiss FM in Sacramento, he did not want to learn how to do that shit.
Give me an engineer, bro.
Yeah, you know what? There's some people that want engineers, but I'm good. I want to do my own. I want to work my own board. I want to do my own edits. Like,
you
I know what the
on.
Sound, yeah, what the sound is in my head, what I want it to be like already. So I love doing my own board work. I don't know. I can't trust anybody else to help me run my show or to really depend on them too much. You know, shout out to the engineer. I feel bad. I get it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just such a hands-on
I can't do what Aaron's doing, man.
See, and I would want to sit there and be like, let me see what you're doing. Like, I love all that.
He sits here for 8 hours. I listen to 8 podcasts a day.
Oh, he's a savage.
20 ZipRecruiter ads.
We're his favorite, though.
And sending texts.
Yeah. They're your favorite? He's thumbing up? Thumbing up, thumbing up. There we go. Yes.
So that's what you do? That's something that you always wanted to do, just because I know you grew up with Snoop Dogg and them?
Well, I grew up listening to Snoop Dogg. My boyfriend actually works for Snoop. What so up? We're around a lot. But
where's that weed at?
It's right there. I don't know if we're allowed to say that.
Oh, good.
Okay. All right. Cool. No, I grew up listening to all them, and I work with them closely. You know, I can sit there. I'm in a movie coming out with Trady from the Eastsiders and Mike Epps. I just did. I'm a hologram. It's really kind
of cool. What's the name of the movie?
I don't know if I'm supposed to say right now. I can't say too much about it, but it is coming
out.
My
Epps is okay, bro. Tell us.
It's all good, babe.
We work with Mike.
Just make sure you guys check it out. It's coming out soon. It's a short film, but Mike Epps is hella funny in it. Oh my god, he's so great.
He's funny.
Yeah. So the fact that
did you meet his manager TC?
No. I didn't. I actually got called in through Trady from the Eastsiders, who's a really good friend of mine. Me and his wife are good friends as well. But the fact that I grew up to these people and I was listening to the music, I'm very West Coast. I love Cali. I don't want to go anywhere else. And now I get to call them friends is really awesome for me. But it just attests to like the passion that I have for that culture.
How did you get the movie, the hologram role?
He just called me.
Well, that's tight.
Yeah, I was just called and was like, CC, I need you to do me a solid. And I was like, I got you. Let's do it. And they sent me the script. I got the script, read over it, and went in there and killed it.
Mike Epps knows you?
Knows probably of me, you know what I mean, through interviews. I'm not as close with Mike Epps as I am with Trady.
Oh, that's tight.
I got the call from Trady.
Those are the best gigs, man, when you're out to audition and somebody knows your work. Go, you know what? Call Ceci. That's how I get most of my work.
Is it really? You just pick up the phone and you're like, hey.
No, people pick up the phone and call me.
And be like, listen, Philippa, we need you real quick.
We need you, bro. We need a guy who looks like a maintenance guy. And today I went to go read for a maintenance guy, like a handyman for a show on Netflix. I could say it, you know, because I might not get it. So who cares? It's for Run DMC. Run.
Yeah, it's a project for Run. And
oh, man, that's so dope.
So it's a sitcom.
I get to play the handyman. And when I get there, everybody there looks like a fucking handyman, bro. But I'm the only one that looks like an incompetent one. And that's what they wanted.
I hope you get it. I hope you get it.
Because, man, whatever we were talking about, I had to look it up. Like, I didn't know what grout work was, bro.
I know what grout work is.
You see, I had to look it up.
Yes.
I had no idea. So when I kept reading it on over, I didn't know what it was. Then I realized what it was. Oh, okay. I wouldn't want to do that
shit.
Lay
the tiles, you got to put the dividers. I
didn't know that
shit. Yeah, see, I know all that.
A little
cement. I know how to charge water. I made water damages.
I ungrout.
So you grew up in LA, graduated from here?
Yeah, I graduated from Pauley High School in
Riverside. Pauley?
Yes. You know what? My mom had to move outside of LA because at some point she was a single parent. We just started, you know, she had two girls. We started being bad. We started
How
sneaking
bad?
Out.
You were gangbanging?
I wasn't gangbanging, but we were sneaking out.
Sniffing glue.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to go to like all like the rave parties and stuff. She ended up moving
rebel.
To Riverside.
So you're a bear then?
Oh, yeah. I'm a Pauley bear. I graduated, though. That was dope.
Oh, yeah. I'm Norda Vista. A little ghetto.
Oh, family, okay. So. Okay. All right. Norda Vista. I don't have no problems with Norda Vista. We're good. No, but I ended up doing that. And then I had been doing radio all the way from Wild, you know, from the IE to Vegas to now L.A. And, you know, I even worked with Jennifer Lopez. That was awesome. Doing the collective on Nuvo TV. So I loved the fact that I got to do that. And then I did play a gangbanger in Grand Theft Auto 5. I was a gangbanger.
In the computer game?
From the family's gang. I was from the family's gang.
Awesome. My son plays that.
Oh, well, he's probably heard me say, move out the way, motherfucker.
Set it up.
I'll have to point it out to him.
Oh, let him
That's
know.
My girl, CeCe.
He's a big fan of anybody on that game.
Yeah, Steven Ogg is on that, and he loves that guy.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
That's funny. It's
Did you cool get though. To write on the show or just be a voiceover?
No. I was just a voiceover. What they do is they don't tell you which game to. They don't. I didn't go in there knowing it was for Grand Theft Auto 5. I knew it was for a particular game, but they were real hush hush about it. And they give you a picture of the character, and then they give you the lines so you can kind of get in character. But it was funny because the character was a black gangbanger, like a black girl was a gangbanger with cornrows. And I was like, "You good? They're like, you sure?" And they're like, "Can you do it?" I was like, "I can do it. Let's do it." And they're like, all right. So I went in and nailed it. And then I knew the way I was reading, I was like, I think this might be Grand Theft Auto 5. I think this might be Grand Theft Auto. And then it comes out and it was. It was so dope.
Yeah. I remember, I think DJ Pooh was doing an interview. I don't know if it was on Power. In the morning, he was talking about Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
San Andreas.
And he wrote on it. He wrote
man.
The storylines for all the.
Who's dope, though?
I mean, I was like, what? Here's a guy who wrote Friday with Ice Cube, And after Friday liked him so much that he was writing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, he wrote all the lines for all the gangsters.
Oh, man.
The one that wearing green?
Yeah. Yeah, that's dope. I love DJ Pooh, though.
I would love to get a job like that, man. Felipe, go write funny lines for this character. Okay, what you want to say?
Who would you love to write for, though?
Anybody, man.
Who would be great, though?
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'll write lines for criminals, you piece of shit. I'll be a bystander. Go, you're nothing out of that way.
Oh, my Leave goodness.
Me I will play, man, I'm not good at Grand Theft Auto.
Only the Bisa version minutes, or what?
two minutes in, bro, I become a serial killer on that show, on that game. Like, I get tired. I don't want to ride a car. I get in my car and I start fucking shooting random people. I go on a killing spree. And if you go on a killing spree on Grand Theft Auto, right, you start getting a red light. Like, people start noticing. Anyway, so you kill 10 people, the whole world after your ass, dog.
So I'm
a fugitive. So, man, I'm like getting away from them. Helicopter chasing me. The police are chasing me. I get on a boat. The fucking Coast Guards are chasing me.
Wow.
Then I just drown, bro.
Damn.
So your true nature comes out in the video game.
Right?
You want to be the killer instead.
I wish my wife was in it, though.
You're like Harrison Ford and Fugitive in the future.
You guys are so crazy. Yeah. I love it, though. I love it.
Rodrigo has a face for DJ. Do you have the chance?
Oh, you're a DJ? Are you a DJ?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
you're not
no,
a DJ?
No, hell no.
No?
Yeah, you know, everybody and their mom's a DJ these days.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everybody's into vinyl, huh?
All you got to do is, now everybody's into vinyl. It's so crazy. But before, it was like, just buy a laptop and you're a DJ.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, at that point.
No, everybody's a DJ, man. Bro, if you ever need music, bro.
Holler at me.
How many times you get hit up? Hey, bro, Ceci, if you know anybody that wants to buy some beats.
Hey, I know people that lease out their beats.
What?
Yeah.
Is that how it works now?
Yeah, they lease out. Like, if you got a beat and maybe somebody's like, hey, dog, like, I only got, like, 150. All right, I'm going to lease this out to you so you can use it. But I'm going to lease it out to, like, five other different people, too. Like, people do that now. It's crazy.
They're franchising, dog.
They're leasing out their beats.
I know people who lease out their jokes.
Ain't nobody getting paid, though.
I knew a comedian that would pay another comedian for the weekend to do the jokes.
Oh, yeah. At least he was honest, though, right?
I keep my pets on one side now.
Oh, man.
So, what was one of the most memorable interviews you had besides Felipe Esparza?
Oh, you were the most memorable. You were the most down to earth. You're the one that we all love.
Well, you were like, when you're sitting down and you said, man, you were captivated by saying, you know what? This is why I do in radio, to interview people like this.
Like you. Yes.
Inspirational.
You know, the one thing that I do love about you that we still talk about to this day is that you had said something during the interview where I think you said, you mentioned where you paid for your own catering and you had like your credits roll up and it was you. And it was so dope because it was such a real moment where we're like, man, we've all done that at some point in our lives with our projects. But you were, you know, you came out and you're forthcoming with it.
Yeah, man. And I like, I got excited. Look at Felipe's part of the catering. Dude, but you were in the show. I know, but still.
Exactly. You know what? Going back to that, I've interviewed a lot of people. I was one of the first people to interview Chris Brown. And I remember when he first came in, he was young, like 14.
He punched you, huh?
No, he's a sweetheart.
You had an umbrella, huh?
No, he was 14.
14?
Yeah,
little.
Yeah. And I remember he came with his mom, and the program director at the time was like, Cece, I really need you to do me this favor. His record rep is a friend of mine. Just please interview this kid. His name's Chris Brown. He's new. And I was so mad. And I was like, why do they give me all these up-and-coming nobody's ever heard of? Like, I want the solid ones. Like you. And I was pointing to the afternoon radio person. I'm like, you give him all the good interviews. You giving me all, you know what I mean, the new ones. I interviewed him, did my thing. And then like 2 weeks later, I'm seeing him on MTV. And I'm like, hey.
You broke him.
I was like, that's the kid that I just interviewed 2 weeks ago. And then it was Chris Brown. It's just crazy when things like that happen. Jennifer Lopez, when I started working for her, she actually heard me on the radio. I was on Latino at the time, and I was arguing with my co-host named Tattoo. And
Tattoo, I know him. I slept with Shaq, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. It's not there no more. He got it removed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, me and him were arguing, and she heard me, and she told her personal assistant, find out who that girl is, and I need a girl like that on my team.
I need her to cuss out Mark Anthony for me.
And I ended up working there, you know what I mean, for a while, and it was dope, and I loved it. And so little moments like that are so real, and I think what makes it worthwhile is not really interviewing the celebrities per se. What makes my job worthwhile is when I meet listeners. And I hear listeners saying, man, you changed my life, or man, I listen to you every single morning, or what you said really touched me. That's what makes this worth doing.
Wow, man. That's good you inspire people like that, because I inspire people to go shoot themselves.
Oh, damn.
Grand Theft Auto, dog.
I inspire people to leave their boyfriends after 18 years.
They're writing suicide letters. What the hell? Like, oh, my God.
I do a joke where I say, how many boyfriend and girlfriend are here? And then somebody goes, me, how many years? 12. Fuck. You ain't the one, bitch.
Oh, man.
Right? Everybody starts clean. Well, I did that joke last year in at the Novo Theater. I'm there March 23rd. And
shameless plug. No,
there was a woman that had been married, a boyfriend and girlfriend with a guy 17 years. And I kept ragging on him. Bro, how come you don't marry her? Long story short, he hits me up 2 weeks ago.
What
Felipe,
happened?
Bro, I had an awesome time at your show, man. Man, I was the guy you were making fun of for being married, boyfriend and girlfriend 17 years. Guess what, eh? I guess that show was a wake-up call for my lady, eh? Because she left me 2 weeks later. Laugh out loud, eh?
Wasting my time. But I still had
a good time, eh?
Are you serious?
Serious.
Damn. Breakups happen at the Felipe Esparza show.
Fucking dating game.
The last show I did, I ran into a couple. I was going to my room. I said hello. This lady, she looked like Miley Cyrus at 40.
Oh, Lord.
And she had the same hair, too. And she was there with a dark fool, some Mexican fool like me, crazy fool named Ray. I won't say her name. And we're doing meet and greet. He goes, hey, bro, you want to get locote, Holmes? He goes, oh, all right. You want to get crazy, Holmes? And then, no, I'm good. The next morning, we're at the buffet, and I run into her, the girl.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, what happened? Where's your husband? And she's a white girl, but the way she stated it, made it sound so real. She said, what happened like that? Oh, my husband, he cussed a desmadre at the casino. And he cussed another desmadre in the hotel room. We haven't seen him.
Oh, damn.
So we're going to leave now, and hopefully he'll make it back home.
Damn, she's going to leave her husband like that out there?
What are you going to do? He can't find him.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone. He took off with the car. He went to go do what he said he was going to do. Get locote.
Oh, man.
Locote. I mean, this guy must be up somewhere, man. He probably got to a fight with a cactus.
Not her first
crazy,
rodeo.
Right?
He probably was there having sex with a javelina.
That's too much.
You ever get those stories from people? Oh, man, you inspired me to get a job, eh?
You know what? I do. I get those ones that are, well, no, you just keep me going. Thank you.
You get me through the morning.
You know, yeah, I do. A lot. I get those a lot. You get me through the morning. So
people want to laugh in the morning, man.
I think we have like the best job really ever because we don't have to be so serious.
Nope.
You know, the world is such a serious place right now, and it is a hurting world, but we get to make people laugh. We get to have fun. We have the fun side of the entertainment. So I think it is a blessing.
Morning is the fun side.
It is.
Morning radio, because afternoon is different. Like, morning radio, everybody like you got to be on.
Give us
a personation of you being bummed out from the house. You know, there was no more weed, I guess. No. That's never the problem for you, I guess. But still, it's a problem for us. No, but no, whatever. There was like a drama but in the morning, you can't show that, huh?
No.
You wake up, huh?
Yeah, there's
How do you do it? Like, whoa!
No, I don't know how I do it. I can't explain it. Like, everybody is like, Cece, you wake up like that. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. I just have it. I don't need to drink coffee. I drink decaf. Crazy. Because they're funny because everybody's like, you drink decaf? And I'm like, oh, my God, you see the energy I have? If I had caffeine, I'd be through the roof. So I don't know. I just have this energy, and I'm literally up. But I also wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm ready to perform by 6. So
early
I've already
birdie.
Had – yeah, I have a couple hours already to get it in. You know what I mean?
Pause. Oh, no. I say by the time you get home, you start kicking shit and all pissed, huh?
No, I don't. Look at – he's like – I don't. I'm actually kind of cool. It's okay. The only time you see me where if I'm kind of quiet and I get grouchy, I get quiet.
Okay.
I'll get quiet, and then you'll notice something's wrong because I'm not talking as much. But no, I have a lot of energy. It's really freaking crazy. I don't get it.
Wow, man.
I don't know. I don't know what it is to not have it. I don't. When I see people struggling, I'm like, "Where? Why?" Because I don't know. I just don't struggle.
I just pictured 3 o'clock to get up to be there at 6.
Well, it takes 2 hours.
I would have
got
up at 5, bro.
Yeah, but I...
Morning radio guys, show with lagañas, bro.
Oh, dude,
salada right here and shit.
See,
a woman is different now, man.
And not even that, but you got to think, Felipe, there's cameras all
of
over
course.
The place now. People are, you know 90s. What I mean? You have to be on point, kind of, yeah.
Before you go in, bro, do radio, and morning check will be like this, dog.
We've seen some, though.
Old school morning rock station with a chick. Yeah. Old school morning.
Let me see. With his hair in his face.
Looking like Gene Simmons, huh?
Yes.
Old Chola.
And she has her shoes off.
He has his shoes off.
And she has sandals on. And I've been to radio station where the girl is pretty, but she don't look pretty to everybody else. But me, I know pretty. And she's wearing her pajamas, bro. Pajamas, gloves. Glasses, you know, looking like Adrian from Rocky. Now it's different, bro. Now it's totally different. I've been to Fox Radio in Miami, and that lady now, she puts on makeup now. Before, she never put on makeup.
Really?
And she's an older woman. But now she puts on makeup. She looks good because there's a selfie coming.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah, and they want to know all the shots. So, yeah, definitely it takes me 2 hours. Like, I get up at 3 and I'm ready to go by, like, 5:15. I'm straight.
But you have to look, like, you have to look presentable now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't be looking like a rock station anymore, huh? You got to look good.
It's just now it's like social media has integrated so much with radio. It's all about, you know what I mean? Like you said, the selfies, the Insta snaps, the Instagrams. You got so much that it's not just radio
anymore. So you're the new generation of radio, man. The old generation, man. You can have ugly motherfuckers, bro.
Looking
radio.
Like roadies, huh?
Like when they will tell you have a face for radio, you knew you were ugly.
They'll say that sometimes. So like you'll hear people say, "Oh yeah, they have a face for radio," and it's like not anymore. Like everybody's on point now. Yeah. Yeah.
You never seen Ryan Seacrest?
Exactly. Exactly.
Looking like a little doll, huh?
Yeah, the girls are looking like Telemundo. You know what I mean? Weather women and stuff.
I know it's the only radio station I see legs.
Oh, man. Radio's a good time, though. It is.
Yeah, man. You ever work, like, late-night radio, though?
Yeah,
like,
I did.
You like, hello? Anybody listening? I know it's 2 in the morning.
The witching hour.
I did a 7 p.m. to 12 midnight in Vegas, but that was an exception to the rule because Vegas is a 24-hour city.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but it was funny because at one point I had applied for a night job out here in Cali, and I got told, quite frankly, to my face that if I was a guy, I would have got it already. But because I was a female, nobody wants to hear a female at night on a hip-hop show. I said, okay. So I ended up going to Vegas, and I landed the night show. I was the first female radio personality to be on at nights, and I was number one in Vegas and top 5 in the country, and that was my big FU to them. You know, but yeah, I loved it. I love doing nights. Nights is different. You get all the crazy people at night. You know what I'm saying? Especially in Vegas.
Man.
I bet, man.
We were right off the strip.
Damn.
Right off the strip. So we got all the people that were just with it. They were with it and about it.
How old was this guy who said nobody wants to hear a woman that late? when I was calling 976 late at night.
Exactly, right?
That's the only time I want to hear a woman was late at night.
Yeah.
I'm driving around, I hear a crisp little voice. How you doing? This is Mamacita right here. I'm listening to you. I'm in a 605.
You ever get any stalker fans?
Actually,
guys
I did.
Go to
that's
how
I met my man.
Yeah, we
he was passing out stickers.
He was driving the van, eh?
No, you know what I did? I actually had one. It was so weird. It was random. It wasn't even like he was such a stalker. But it was a weird stalker. Like, he wasn't even in love with me type of stalker. He was obsessed with just wanting to be around me. So, like...
Just talking.
He would steal all the photos from my website.
Fucking lingering.
And we had to pull down my website because of him.
Really?
And he would distribute my pictures to, like, his coworkers and stuff through email and be like, my sister's on the radio. And so he made this whole lie that I was his sister, that I was Dominican, and that I was from New York, and that we lived in an orphanage.
Wow.
But what was really scary was he started having creditors call because he was using me as reference.
What?
So they started calling the station.
Fucking yeah. Genius.
And then his... You would. And then his coworkers, they actually put, you know, two and two together, and they called me and warned me because they said, we think he's unstable, and he keeps showing
you
all
think?
These photos. Yeah. So
no,
the
geez.
Radio station was going to put a, you know, they were going to give me a restraining order.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't end up doing that. I just ended up for like the next 6 months getting escorted to like some of my events and stuff just to be aware. But I've gotten some crazy people. Yeah.
Where does this fool work at?
Somewhere in West Covina. Somewhere in West Covina. Damn, yeah.
And they made that. Oh, man. That is.
Gnarly, bro.
That's like the thing about it. This guy planned it out perfectly, bro.
Dude.
Yeah.
Get to know her, get near her.
He had like an apartment complex call, too. Like, I was his reference on everything. In his mind, he truly believed I was his sister. That's the craziest thing. Yeah. And I'm not Dominican. I'm Mexican.
Yeah. It's like George Costanza said, man. It's not a lie if you believe it.
It isn't, dog. The real poker key.
Well, I didn't believe it. Yeah, I'm not signing for nobody. I ain't co-signing for anybody.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, and then I got a girl one time that was fascinated. Yeah, got his attention.
What
right?
was she fascinated with?
We were at a club and I was hosting, but I host this one club every Saturday night for 2 years. I would host it.
What club?
It was called Cheers in Moreno Valley.
That's where I started comedy.
I started comedy there.
Are you serious?
A comedian named Cookie used to run that club.
Okay. So I was hosting there when I was Wild 96, and there was a girl there, and I guess one night she just got drunk and she tried to kiss me, and I ended up slapping her in her face.
You walk in, has that room, and then has that back room to the left.
And everything would go down in the back room.
Yeah. The owner was like a Middle Eastern dude with glasses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. His name was Sam.
Are the walls white there?
Yeah, fool.
And there's mirrors, and they sell fried chicken.
Yeah, they sell fried chicken.
There's like fake palm trees inside, right? Yeah.
I don't remember.
That one was called something Beach, like two exits up.
Okay.
Off of Marino Beach Drive.
I think that one too.
Yeah, dude.
I remember that one. I forgot what it's something Beach. Oh my God.
That changed names like 3 or 4 times because they used to have radio.
But I do remember that one too that you're talking about, Felipe. But the one we're talking about was off of the 60 and Pigeon Pass Road.
Yeah, right to the left.
Yeah. Cheers in handwriting, right?
No, it was in a shopping center.
Across the street from In-N-Out.
Yes, across the street. But I remember.
Yeah, man.
I was like, I just saw like her trying to come towards me, and I freaked out and I just slapped her in the face. Yeah.
And that's from listening to you on radio?
Yeah.
And then stalking you at those events?
Yeah. Yeah. God, damn. It was weird. And it was so gross. She called me her butterfly. Whoa. That was the weirdest thing ever.
She must have finished watching that movie.
Cocoon.
The Last Emperor.
Oh, my God.
She is my butterfly.
She do MC Fanchoy.
I'm so mad that I don't know what that other club is that ended with Beach.
Dude.
Okay. I'll figure it out.
There was another club, I don't know if it was Moreno Valley or Hesperia, that was owned by Egyptians.
Was that Tap Daddy's? It was Tap Daddy's.
Were they all Egyptian guys?
Yeah,
and
Tap Daddy's.
They had comedy there, too.
And it was so huge. Like, one room was kind of small, the other one was big.
It was red. They were real nice guys.
Okay, yeah, I got kicked out of there.
I just stand up there.
Because that other club got shot up. And then that's not Cheers, the other one where they changed the name after that, dude.
Yeah.
But that's the one that has palm trees in the club. And then, like, on the stage, there's palm trees with the name. Something Beach. I forgot.
Oh, I forgot. I'm so mad now.
Back in those days, Moreno Valley was trying to make it happen with the club scene.
Oh, it was popping. Because a lot of people from L.A. went to Moreno Valley.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot of people that got kicked out of L.A. went to Moreno Valley.
Was there a club called Rumors up there?
Rumors? I think that was in San Bernardino.
Yeah, that was San Bernardino.
Yeah.
Tremors, no?
Tremors.
Oh, I remember Tremors. Margarita Beach or Margaritaville?
Yeah. That's what it's called, Margarita Beach.
Over there
in Moreno Valley. That's what it was called.
Yeah, see? We all know the club scene.
Damn.
Do you remember, though? Let me throw it back. Riverside Club Metro.
Yeah, Club Metro. Meet-a-ho.
Okay. Yes, it was called Meet-a-ho. Yes.
18 and over.
Yes. There's so many people that died in that parking lot. And inside the club.
I've witnessed some really good fights.
OD or getting shot?
Just getting blasted on. Because, like, there was a Mexican in there, and then those West Side PJCs, like, there was a lot of shit happening, drug deals.
What it was too, they had a room. So, like, they had these multiple rooms. One was a hip-hop room. One was deep house. One was rock. One was rock in Espanol. So you had all these different types of people in one
coming
area.
Coming together.
Yes.
That was fun when the clubs were doing that, because it changed everything. Before, it was just one scene.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool, like, to go to, like, a hidden door, and there was all hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
And it was dark. It was like, you could tell, because it's hip-hop. Then you go to another place, a bunch of posers dancing to Rock en Español.
Oh, totally. Hearing the same
Maná song over and over.
Yes, tu Maná.
Toca loca, find us otra vez.
And then you were on that scene, man, where you was talking about it when everybody was starting
Quebradita
Cruise.
Oh, yeah. I didn't do the Quebradita. Nah. I did the Party Cruise.
Yeah.
Party Cruise afterward.
Yeah. Mine was L for L, Latinos for Life. We used to be like L for L.
You know, when I was in high school, we had Party Cruise, true, but I wasn't in one of them.
Neither was I.
A bunch of them, right? And I know that the guy Mezcalito from East Side of the River, his mom was in a crew called Dreamers. Mm-hmm. And it was five chicks. And every time they would show up to a party, everybody, oh, the Dreamers are here. Right? And then there was another chick that were younger than them. They were my age. They were called the Ladies of No Return. It was like from that song, To the Point of No Return. Yeah.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And then, like, they would pass by, and my friend Baby James will say, nobody wants your bitches back anyways.
Oh, damn.
You'll get mad.
So Savage. In the party cruise, what did those people who had a party crew do? Did they promote the party? They invited
people?
We
would throw a party.
You would throw the party.
In charge.
Like, you'll charge. Like, okay. Those people would, like, get maybe sometimes they're a small party crew with no funds. Mm-hmm. They'll have a house party at one of their friends with the biggest house. Mm-hmm. When nobody's there. Like, they'll move all the furniture out and you'll party in the living room. But if you're like a party crew, like big party crew, like Teddy Boys, you know, or those guys, what was Alfonso and them called?
Negocio Inc.
Negocio Inc.
I never heard of them.
Negocio Inc. was huge. Negocio Inc.
They had
the money to hire a DJ to rent the club.
Dang, they were the baller ones, huh?
They were the baller ones. So, and they had a comedy night at Rosemead, Negocio Inc., and the guy was just like they had money.
Yeah, we weren't the ballers. We would throw the parties and be like $5, mm-hmm. you know, and then
ours was cheap, man. One, it was a house party in the projects. $1 to get in, but if you had a good record, we'll let you in free.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, right? my friend Baby James Repos was standing by the door, and he was a DJ who goes, yo, it costs $1 to get in. I don't have $1.
Oh, my God.
You want your manga new old album, man? She got some Ohio Players. Bring that shit over here. We're going to mix that shit.
Shout out to the Ohio Players. Hey, what about the hop, though? You're just taking me back. You know what I mean?
I love the hop. That was the only place where you could hook up on a mom and a daughter.
The Puente one's gone, right?
Yeah, it's gone.
Lakewood's still there?
Lakewood, bro. You over there, man, you don't just fight Mexicans. You fight Samoans.
Fool, every time we used to go to the Lakewood hop, at the end of the night, Greg Townsend would always show up.
Yeah,
you don't remember that?
The Raiders.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he was picking up at the end. He was getting the stragglers. He was like, I gotta get him drunk. They're already drunk.
Show up with his big old Super Bowl ring from 1983 and rested on Chepo's head.
Right.
Always there at night with a sport coat at the end of the night. Chilling.
Yeah, man. The hot was my shit, man. That was my favorite joke. Oh. I was like 2 or 3 times, man. La Veteranas.
Is that the hop in the song, the hop?
Yeah.
It was
born by the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about the Righteous Brothers. Sorry.
No, I had the time of my
life. Oh, I know that song, yes.
Yeah. I don't know another song.
I think
the engineer just shook his head.
You lost that biggest song ever. Top Gun.
You lost that love and feeling. There you go.
Goose over here.
Whoa.
Me a little bass.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see the Grammys last night?
I did not watch it, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, no.
I'll watch
it's
Black
okay.
Mirror.
It was like the lowest rated.
That's what I heard.
Ever. I don't know who's who anymore.
Yeah.
What do you want to really gonna... watch?
No. We were talking about it over there earlier this morning. We were talking about how Kendrick didn't get Album of the Year.
Yeah,
it was Bruno Mars. Yeah.
Right.
So we're just, but they were saying it was the lowest watched ever.
There's some horrible ass performances, right?
Yeah. There's some of them were just kind of boring.
Right.
But
do they lip sing or are they live?
There were some that was kind of live, huh? Like Rihanna did her thing. Shout out to Rihanna. She did her thing.
Have you met her?
No, I haven't been able to meet her. I love Rihanna, though. I would love to meet her, though. No, but it was cool. It was just, you know what? I know now I have to watch the Grammys so I can fast forward. You know what I mean? Like, you know, DVR it, watch it then, and then you just fast forward through the others that you don't want to watch.
Lisa and I, we turned the TV on to the Grammys, and there was a band playing that we never heard, and right away we changed the channel.
Yeah,
I don't even know who it was, like a country band or
they
something.
They were horrible, man.
Well, they asked Cardi B, I guess, on the red carpet if she was excited or something. She was like, yeah. She's like, I got butterflies in my stomach and in my vagina.
I want me a Roman lettuce. I want me a Caesar salad with Roman lettuce.
A Roman lettuce.
The Romans do it.
Right?
That was funny. I saw a video of her talking about how they messed up her Caesar salad. And she said, they messed up my Caesar salad. It had mayonnaise on it. I want to see the salad the way the Romans ate it, with Roman salad and salmon.
I'm going to give it to you how the Puerto Ricans eat it. How about that?
Oh, damn!
Yeah, I don't see how somebody like Bruno Mars can win for that album when that album is such an like an homage to older music. You know, it was all super influenced by, you know, Sting and Morris Day and the Time, and like all of those songs that he had on that album were kind of derivative, you know, of that kind of music. But
mad throwback.
Yeah, more beyond a throwback. Like, it's like, am I listening to...
But with new vocals, right?
It's strong enough to where they had to have Sting on his performance last year or whatever, whenever he did that big performance. Like, he pulls Sting out because it sounds like a police song. Okay, okay.
who, the older song. Who are new artists?
oh my God, I just had it. Alicia Cara, which is kind of mad. We were kind of upset because we wanted SZA to win. But
what
song
does she sing? Tijuana, na, na, na.
No, that's...
My grandma got deported to Tijuana, na, na, na. I can't eat her more tamale, la, la, la.
That is not a song, Felipe.
Tijuana, na, na, na.
No,
it's a song. Nobody sings that song.
Havana.
Havana, na, na, na.
Tijuana, na, na, na.
There you go.
It's that girl, Camila.
Camila Bea?
Yeah, she sings Havana, na, na, na.
She had a beautiful speech, by the way, last night. So it was kind of dope. But I just thought you guys, I was like,
what was the speech about?
Being Latina and standing on that stage. And, you know, she's from, you know, her parents are immigrants. And she's like, you know, what was she, babe? Like Mexican and Cuban or Mexican Cuban. And Puerto, something Cuban. Like, yeah. And she was just very proud to stand there. And it just felt dope as a Latina that we're like, yo, you're on that stage. You represent all of us at that one point.
Hell so, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you do something bad, then we don't know you.
Hey, Dave Chappelle got best comedy album.
That was the coolest part.
I didn't even get nominated.
Man, motherfucking dope.
We need new people on the board at the Grammys. Come on.
I know.
But yes. He deserved it though.
Oh fuck yeah, dude.
That shit was
yeah. We're calling it though. I think he might even host next year because I mean come on, he practically co-hosted this year.
Yeah, man, but that I don't know. That the new host was like kind of a little dead spot on. Huh?
James Corden. Yeah. It was I think Dave Chappelle did his thing, but yeah, he did win best comedy album of the year.
I think half the people watching the Grammys probably don't know who James Corden is.
Yeah.
They don't watch his show.
Nobody in LA growing up used to watch his Channel 2. That's the channel that used to come out the worst on my television.
It's Channel 2 with that.
Like, if you didn't have cable, I'm going to tell you right now, man. What
the hanger.
You could throw your TV out the window, bust it open from the back, plug it in, and Telemundo still comes in clean. Telemundo is the best looking channel, even if you break your television. You break your television, you'll never see CBS and NBC ever again.
Damn.
You need a fucking super antenna for that movie. Like when I was on Last Comic Standing, I told my sister I'm gonna be on Channel 4. She goes, Channel 4? We never watched that channel.
Your sister said that? Oh my God. It's true though.
We never watched Channel 2 growing up. We grew up in the projects, so you can't have no big antenna on a freeway, on a fucking roof. So Channel 2 was one channel that never looked good on my TV. Channel 9 and Telemundo were perfect.
And 11, too, because it was kind of a little hood sometimes. You
11,
know?
Yeah. 11, KTTV.
Yeah. 11 will come through.
11, man. We want to see cops.
Crazy.
So, you ever worked at the red carpet? Is that something you like to do? Like, just stand out there and talk to people? Have you done that before?
I love red carpets. I do a lot of red carpets. Yeah. Red carpets are really crazy. I mean, I think it's different for you, Philippe, because you get to walk the red carpets, you know? For us, we're on the other side, so we're fighting for the interviews. And it's weird, because if you notice, pay attention, all the artists will walk kind of fast, and they're like, hey. And you're like, no, hold on. I need to ask you a question. So it's a little bit more savage doing working the red carpets. I love it, though. I get off on that, like, really.
We were on a red carpet with Veronica at the...
Shout out to Veronica.
Yeah, supersonic. And we were at the one for...
Den of Thieves.
Den of Thieves.
Oh, that I wasn't invited to that one.
Man,
thanks, Veronica.
You didn't miss much.
You heard?
That movie was too long.
Was it?
I think they even gave the director a line in that movie.
How is it? Because I got to interview O'Shea Jackson Jr. and, of course, Pablo Schreiber that play in Den of Thieves, but I haven't seen it yet. But when I interviewed him, it sounded like they're talking about it. It's dope, but I'm like, okay.
If I would have saw that movie when I was 14 years old, Den of Thieves, if I would have saw Den of Thieves when I was 14 or 15 years old, I probably would have thought that was the fucking best movie I've ever seen because there was a lot of shooting. A lot of fucking shooting. It's like heat.
Opened up like that.
It's like Heat with a worse script. You know what I mean? But as an older man, you know, who's seen a bunch of movies like that, you know, right. Reservoir Dogs, the
Reservoir Dogs is like, know, the ultimate, the yes.
Heat, mm-hmm. and all these bank robbery movies. But then you watch that movie, you know, I'm too old probably to watch a movie like that, because I know that when I see, and now I can see, okay, that piece is from Heat. That line was from Shaft. You know,
No way. But not that movie, like that.
It took 14 years to make.
Get out of here.
O'Shea Jackson started that movie when he was 8. So now he's 22. He gets to close the movie.
Gerard Butler was in college.
But I'll say this. The movie has a very good surprise ending. That makes it look like there's going to be a part two, which I hope there isn't.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, it's good, man. You never knew it was going to end like that. But also, man, it's like come on, man. You really? You're going to break into the Federal Reserve and get away with it?
Yeah, that's true, too, right?
You hear what happened to JFK, right?
Oh, my goodness. I feel bad because when they came in, they hyped it up so much that I was like, left that interview like, man, I got to watch this movie. This movie's about to be sick. And then Felipe Esparza is like, wah, wah, wah. No, Cece, don't go.
It's been out for 3 weeks. She still hasn't watched it.
I've been busy. I really want to see it. What do I keep saying? Let's go to the movies. Yes.
That movie was all shot. It's all based in Hawthorne in Los Angeles. But if you've been around the world in La La La, you know that movie is shot in the Bay.
Really?
Like, oh, I recall, there was a chase scene. I don't know if you've been in Oakland or you've been to Oakland.
Yeah.
Remember that bridge that's on top? It ain't the 105. That's the fucking, that's where the fucking, the 808. And I knew right there when they were driving, I said, that's Berkeley, bro.
Felipe is like, I called it.
Don't be telling me it's Hawthorne.
Yeah, I know Hawthorne.
Don't tell me it's Harbor area and not show up by MC Bancho in the streets. That's with Chamorita.
No 110.
Oh, man. We got to do something like that, but Latinos. You know what, right? I mean? We got to do something like that.
Den of Paisas.
Weren't they supposed to be protesting the Oscars, a Hispanic group?
Well, the Grammys just passed. Maybe the Oscars coming up shortly.
I mean the Grammys.
Yeah.
There was Latino protest in the Grammys?
Yeah, dude.
It just was very, I just don't think there was enough representation there at the Grammys for us, yeah.
There's only always the little couple, huh? Little three.
There was Luis Fonse and Daddy Yankee.
Despacito.
They get relegated to the Latin Grammys instead.
There you go.
You know, that's the thing.
True that.
But even, you know, the submission for Latin Grammys and, I don't know, not American Grammys, but, you know, English-speaming Grammys,
American,
I guess.
Grammys.
The submission is the same, and there is no difference to them internally between the two. But they have two separate shows and two separate awards.
So maybe my comedy album will be nominated for the Latin Grammy, too.
It will. It will.
I think
put
it has to be
air.
In Spanish for that. That's the thing.
Are you? Should yeah, really?
I think so.
But what if you're a Spanish person who speaks in English? They'll still put you in the Latin Grammys. Jennifer Lopez and regular Grammys, though.
She's been on both.
Yeah, she swings at both sides. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's been nominated for an American, whatever you call it.
What about Suavecito? That was on both?
Suavecito?
Got ignored.
Despacito.
Despacito. Oh, yeah.
Got ignored.
I was like, Suavecito? I was like, that's old school. Yeah, I remember that back
Suavecito.
In the day. Suavecito. Yes. A little cha-cha to that. You remember? Come
Suavecito.
On.
Suavecito.
Said cha-cha.
A little cha-cha.
That's malo, right? Suavecito?
Yeah. That's the only one I know.
I thought it was Tierra 1 or 2.
3.
There's 2 tierras.
Yeah, right one now.
Yeah. The brother broke up.
What was the drama behind that? What was
I don't
the drama?
Know. I want to leave.
Cheese man.
I wish I knew.
I think it's a money.
There's two wars. There's a war, the band War with Lonnie.
Lonnie, the original singer.
Right.
And then there's Lowrider.
Lowrider band.
Yeah, that was a little confusing because I saw that too, like on a flyer recently.
Yeah, Lowrider is the actual band that used to play behind Lonnie from War.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think Lowrider is a horrible name if you're going to be an extra war band. Your name should have been called Cisco Kid.
Huh.
Then everybody knows. Oh, Cisco Kid, that's a fucking dude from War. But with the deal they have, Lowrider cannot pronounce or ever say that they were from War on radio stations.
Yeah,
are
they
you
can't
serious?
Say the guys formerly from War, Lowrider, no.
How about slipping into War?
No. You cannot mention War at
Guerra.
All. You can't even mention the guys who don't like Lonnie.
Damn.
There's a major beef for over there. Yeah, there's man. Major.
That
if that's the case.
Touchy as fuck.
Yes. Might not want to touch that.
Yeah, man. Because I used to be known as the guy formerly, the guy who formerly used to open up for Fluffy.
Not even Felipe. You're like the two Gallagher's, huh? The brother.
Oh shit! Remember that?
Yeah, dude.
Isn't yeah, man. Remember Gallagher? He had sold his act to his twin brother or his brother.
Yeah.
He was called Gallagher Two.
Shut up. Yes. Are you serious?
He had to sue to get his name back to be the original back Gallagher. Yeah. Because other brother smashes burritos.
What the hell?
That's just his brother, he smashes food, but with a little chipotle chillon, like a chespirito.
That's just so weird,
But that's true right there, though. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the dad took the side of the brother, dude.
He did?
Yeah, fucked the family up.
Oh, yeah, there's major. That Christmas dinner is just really awkward over there.
Yeah,
right, right now in Philippines, there's a girl who looks just like you, calling herself Ceci.
Oh, man. Ooh.
Ceci, the Filipina Latina.
The Filipina Latina.
The Filipina mamacita.
Hey, man, if she's making some money, I need my royalty check.
Did you ever work with that guy? Hey, this is Theo right here in the morning. Did you think that motherfucker was black, too?
I did.
He had me fooled.
Yeah.
I used to listen to him only because I like the voice, and that's the kind of voice you need for late nights.
You know, 92.3 The Beat, no color lines.
No color. Yeah. 92.3 The Beat, this is your man, Theo. And we're going to slow it down right now with some Ohio player, too. You lower that, turn on that hot water, light that candle. Because Theo is here to make you feel good. You know, all the women, oh my God, Theo! Theo, I love you every day! He finally goes, he makes a guest appearance. Man, who is that Asian motherfucker?
Yes, on Moesha. Remember that? He made guest appearance on Moesha.
Yes.
And that's when everybody was like, Theo is Asian? Oh, my God. We thought he was black.
I didn't know he was a Bobby Lee character.
He was so wrong and so out of line in so many ways. But
Filipino.
Yeah, he's a Filipino dude.
Is he Filipino or?
Yeah, because Edwin used to do the joke about him.
Castillo's his last name.
Right? Yeah, Castillo.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. I thought he was like Asian, like Chinese Korean. Or something. Yeah, maybe Korean or something.
Mark Fernandez.
Yeah, no, but he had a great voice, and I don't know where he's at anymore.
Did you see that a lot coming up in radio, like a person pretending to be a black woman or doing like a paisa voice?
You know what? It's so funny.
El Venado.
I got a call from Philadelphia back like almost like 9 years ago, and they wanted me to do radio out there, and they offered me a substantial amount of money to go do radio out there. But the only concern with them was, we need you to sound more urban. So I said, well, what's urban? My family grew up in Compton from Linwood Watts. I was like, you don't get as urban as me. So what are you talking about more urban? They're like, well, you know, we just need you to be just a little bit more, you know, the city's more urban. I said, you need me to be more black? Is that what you're saying, black? You can say black. And they're like, well, yeah. And I said, I'm not. I said, I'm a Latina. I'm from South LA. But if you want somebody to sound black, you might want to go ahead and hire a black radio personality. That might be your easiest choice.
But you're the lightest we find.
And I couldn't do it, though. It would have ruined my career. One, if listeners would have saw me, they would have thought I was a sellout or that I was faking the funk. Yeah. And it really would have messed up my career. So I had to decline it. And I did actually refer them to a really dope African-American radio personality that kills it.
And they hired her?
No, they didn't hire her. It was crazy because she's awesome. But, they've asked me to be different ways. I remember, too, believe it or not, I got the same person that actually told me that they didn't want me at nights. It was like, hey, Cece, you know, the listeners love you. They think you're awesome. They relate to you, you know, in the sense of, you know, your personality, your feistiness. But, you know, mostly our listeners are Latinas, and you have no kids. So we were wondering.
Stupid.
And here's the stupid part. You know, radio is just about acting. It's smoke and mirrors. So with that being said, well, let's build your character as a single parent. But I don't have any kids, so what are you talking about?
Adopt one.
What's going to happen when I'm in the community and they're asking me about my child that I'm talking about on the radio and I don't have one? And so they were trying to come up with that, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. And I went home and I told my mom, I think I'm going to get fired because I refuse to be anybody other than I am. And they ended up letting it go away. But, you know, they did ask me. They wanted me to pretend that I was a single parent. I didn't have any kids. I said no to that. I put my foot down. And then a few years ago, I got asked to be, you know, Cece, your character on radio is the home girl and people love you. But I would like you to be the type of girl. How do I put it? you wouldn't F a guy unless he drives a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. That's the kind of guy I need you to be. And I was like, oh, so you want to ruin my radio career because I drive a Nissan Versa. Like, there's just no way it's not happening.
Get it real, dog.
Yeah, it really is what it is. I'm not going to do it. If I can't afford a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW, I'm going to hold somebody else to that. Like, it's not going to happen. And I fought again for 3 days, went back home, told my mom I might get fired because I'm going to stand in what I believe in. And later on, they said, well, just let you do you. And a year later, the same person apologized for me to me and was like, you know what? I'm sorry I did that. I know now that that was a good move, that we didn't go that route. Damn, isn't that crazy?
Who's this genius, eh?
Right?
That would have been crazy if you would have took that job in Philadelphia. You would have been, this is Thea right here. Thea right here. And you know, I'm just chilling here. Junior, shut up. Got my baby right here sleeping under the bed. Got my baby outside sleeping in the DJ booth.
Throw the baby out.
Not that I noticed that, right now that you say that, it's kind of messed up. You say that they want you to act black, and I'm trying to think right now, the last black female DJ in LA, and I can't even think of one.
Cheryl Strawberry, Pat Prescott, still in LA.
I'm glad you give me some, I need some names.
Yeah, Shirley Strawberry was, she did, I think it was 92.3 The Beat with Steve Harvey. And she did the Strawberry Letter. I remember that. And then it became like, I remember at one point it was like 100.3 Jams or something. I don't know if you guys remember. Or something like that. Mega 100.3.
Oh, yeah. Mega. Do you remember George Lopez was on it.
Yeah.
Wow. Old school.
Was
Gilbert, right?
Maybe before.
Gilbert Esquivel, right? Yeah. He was in the afternoon.
But I think those are the ones that I kind of grew up on with. It was Pat Prescott and was Shirley Strawberry. And then you had like your Michelle Visage. Nautica de la Cruz, I grew up on her. She's still at KGLH, and she's half Latina, half Puerto Rican, and half Jamaican. So, yeah. And right now, it's a lot of Latinas.
All I know is, you're coaching with Mark Sacklariti on Coast 103.5.
Remember, Mark Sacklariti is still there. He's been there, like, for 25 years.
Is that Easy Jazz or something?
He is, like, the Arlo Bowl for old white people.
No, for reals. Mike Sacklariti, I cannot believe you even said that. I used to listen to him in the seventh grade.
I used to come up with so many jokes about him. He'll start off like, damn, I would listen to the Coast. Yeah, right now we got Barbara coasting in Ventura County and... And she wants to give a message to John, who is coasting right now in Virginia. And I'll stop and go, coasting? The motherfucker's cheating on her in Virginia.
You're bad.
She wants to sing, she wants to coast with, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Right? Mark Sacklariti. I don't even know what he looks like.
We have Art LeBeau.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, for real.
We got Art LeBeau.
Because on Coast 103, everybody's coasting.
Everybody.
Art LeBeau, everybody, she's over there cleaning and.
Or locked up. Yeah.
Shout out for Folsom from. You know, I don't even know. I wonder if Art LeBeau knows how many hits he fucking put out on the radio.
I'm sure
like,
he does.
He probably a lot of messages were hits. Because sometimes I listen to his messages. It sounds like somebody's gonna get shot right now in Compton. we have a listener right here, Snoopy to Killer from South Central, 18 with a bullet.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Shout out to Killer out there in Tehachapi.
We have a message from Folsom from Snoopy to Lola in South Central. Mac the Knife.
I listen to Art LeBeau. And I love my oldies.
You know what I hate about, you know what I like about fucking Art LeBeau? You've been reading Spanish names for 40 years. Can you pronounce one right, motherfucker?
Art LeBeau is like, I think he's like 96 years old or something.
You can't even pronounce Rodriguez. We got Rodriguez here.
He's in his 90s. I know
I don't care how old he's here, man. He should be. if Vin Scully can pronounce a fucking Spanish name, so could you.
Vizcaíno.
Like Vin Scully would be like, Fernando Valenzuela. And then Art LeBeau,
Valenzuela. Yeah.
Rodriguez.
Love it, though. I got to say, shout out to Art LeBeau.
I'll be doing old school, man. We got Huggy Bear here.
Is he on every Sunday still?
Yeah, he's on every Sunday, and he still does all his concerts. So, yeah, he started doing radio in at the drive-in. Yeah, back, I think I want to say, like, in the
40s or 50s, something like that. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And when I read that book, I'm Dying Up Here, the stand-up comedy movie. He used to own the Comedy Store before it was a Comedy Store.
Ciro's?
Oh, he did?
When it was Ciro's, he owned it. And he used to lease it to the Mitzi Shore. And while the Comedy Store was in its heydays in the 80s, it was making a lot of money. They were trying to buy it off him, and he didn't want to sell. And they finally buy it off him.
Oh, that's crazy.
But he owned the whole shit, the whole Comedy Store.
Oh, damn, that's crazy. I didn't know that. Now I can go back, because you know we still work with him.
Yeah.
So I can go back and say that. Yeah, Art LeBeau is, you can listen to him on K-Day every Sunday night.
All right.
That's cool. I didn't know he had moved there.
Yeah, he's been at K-Day, I want to say, for the last maybe 4 years now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
He's still on late at night, though?
Yeah, he's on. I think it's like Sundays at 6 o'clock from 6 to 12 midnight.
Is that show recorded or he actually is there?
No, it's a live show. However, he's not in the building. He's, I want to say, in Palm Springs. And then it's just...
he has an ISDN line.
Yeah, he has an ISD line. And so that's what they're doing. And we have somebody that runs the board, but it is live.
And the calls are live or just recorded?
They're pre-recorded, yeah. We have to be careful. Can't really go live because if they cuss, then it's like a $25,000 fine.
But he's been in business for a long time. Right? He's like an icon to these people. Huh?
He is a legend and icon to people like us in radio. I think just to the community in general, yeah. Because people grew up on him. We all know Art LeBeau. As a radio personality, and when you get to talk to him and meet him, it's something different. You know, you have to have respect for people that have paved the way for you.
Oh, yeah. Ask any diabetic cholo. He'll let you know.
I tell you, man. Who do you pray to? God or LeBeau? Or LeBeau, Holmes?
He's good people, Holmes.
He always promised me everything.
He shows me love every Sunday night. Yes. Yeah, you guys are too much.
Do some LeBeau, bro.
I don't know even how he talks.
Hey, this is Art LeBeau, and you're listening to Art LeBeau Connection.
Oh, yeah. Hey, this is Art LeBeau, and you listen to the Art Connection. I'm 100 years old, though.
This is Art LeBeau, and you're listening to Felipe Esperanza.
There you! Oh my God, you sound just like him. Yes,
I haven't heard him in a long time.
And he pronounced my name the same way.
Well, dude, Esperanza. I remember the only time memory I have of him is saying in the Spurs, but calling him Esperanza. Like, what the fuck, dog?
You're like,
the
what?
Old man has glasses. Eh?
Come on, yeah, exactly.
He look like he's turning. He look like the old Groucho Marx now, huh?
Yeah, who does he look like?
Well, he's like, he's not even, I don't even think he's 5 feet.
I think we're seeing a hologram.
I think he's 4'10 maybe or something.
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
A little dude.
Super little, yeah.
Because he was on.
4'10?
He did a big old show that the Mouse went to over there at Glen Helen Pavilion, which is now the San Manuel Pavilion.
Uh-huh.
A little oldie show. And they brought him on stage and he was really small.
Yeah, very. But he's the nicest guy ever, ever. Yes.
I did a show with him in 98. Back in the days at Pudding Stone.
Pudding Stone, where was that at?
It's a park, big park. I don't know the name of the park, but it's over there after 57. It's a big, it used to be called, they used to have, in the 80s, I remember watching it on television, they had like, it was like one of the first plays that had a water, one of the first water parks was
Pudding Stone.
San Dimas, yeah. San Dimas, right?
Yeah, it's called Raging Waters.
Raging Water, but not Raging Water anymore. Before in the days, it was something else. It was called Lake Elizabeth. Lake Dolores. Yeah, it was like a water park with actually metal slides, bro.
Damn.
Metal, bro.
So if it was hot, you're sitting there, you're burning your skin.
It's
yeah.
over, dude.
It's over, exactly. Man. You cook bacon on it. And I remember he was hosting a show, and it was James Brown was there, the Coasters. And I opened a show, and I got to meet James Brown.
Is that where you have that brown coat with the little fur on top? The
yeah,
the
man.
I remember that. How picture. Cool was that? Like, was that how was James Brown?
He had the Caesar awful.
Man.
Like, how was haircut. He? Was he nice? Was he down to earth?
He was nice. Because they introduced me as the comedian that's performing. So real quick, hey, James Brown, this is the comedian that's performing before you go up. All right, man, you go up there, man. You get that shit started, man. And he just turned me around. But, man, seeing him was like, I would say, like, meeting him, I guess people have the same the feeling when they meet someone great that they like the Pope, you know, or someone big, the president. But I felt like I was meeting the president of Seoul, bro.
Oh, you can't fuck around with James Brown.
Yeah,
that's
a he's super legit.
There.
My nipples are hard. I got the chills. I don't want to fuck up my line, so I just shook his hand and walked away. And, man, dude, he was big. He's bigger than life. I got to talk to his homeboy, the one that put the cape on him.
The hardest working man in the show.
Are you serious? That's like his hype man. You know what I'm saying? That was
his
hype man.
He's been there forever, dog. The greatest man working in show business. Give it up for dog. Whatever, right? He would put the cape on him. Him and I were talking, and man, it was good. And then when he was leaving, motorcade.
Really?
Two cops in the front, two cops in the back, white limousine with two flags, and then it was some 40-year-old white chick with a big boobs. I love you, James Brown. I don't know if it was set up, but it looked good.
So, meeting him, Godfather, so I get it. But, like, who is that? Who's the equivalent to James Brown in comedy for you?
Everybody that I grew up with. Paul Rodriguez, probably.
Paul Rodriguez, yes.
I couldn't talk to him the first time I met him. So the second time, I just brought him Rodriguez and I sat down next to him.
Down to earth or cocky?
He got up and said somewhere
cool
else.
As fuck.
Yeah, for real? Oh, that's true.
He would have been cool with me. I don't understand these people who say, oh, man, George Lopez was rude to me. Oh, man, Louis C.K. was rude to me. Or Carlos Mencia was rude to me. None of these people have been rude to me.
Oh, that's crazy.
They all called me. When Louis C.K., when the first time I met him, he called me on the phone and told me how funny I was. And then when I met Paul, I guess these people, when you're a fan, it's different because a fan doesn't know how to act. A fan would try to touch his hair, you know, pinch him.
Or leprechaun,
right. Ask for shit.
Trying to give you a movie idea.
Or the worst, show up with a script.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or they're trying to tag up his jokes.
Show up with, or try to fucking pitch a fucking movie.
Or pitch a joke, right? Yeah. I got this real funny one. You should use it.
Paul, let me tell you about this fucking movie I got. Okay. That's why Paul, when Paul does the show, he gets the fuck out of there. George does the show, he gets the fuck out of there. Because they don't want nobody to talk to them.
They heard it
right.
All.
They don't want to hear no thing about, hey, man, my sister dying of cancer. She's right here. We need $1,000. Because people beg. How many beggars you have?
Oh, my God.
How many people tell you? How many people get sad?
Like your mixtape?
Hello. Caller number 35. Sorry, you're 25. Fuck you.
Oh, no, I get the, oh, come on, Cece. You know, I just lost my job. I'm struggling right now. You know, it's been hard.
Pay
I really
my
need
rent.
This. I get the sad story. So I kind of go through the calls fast because when I first started radio, I would listen to every sad story.
That's me.
And then I put them on hold and I would walk to the promotions director. I'm like, is there something we can do? I feel bad.
That's
and
me.
They're like, see, 1,000 people are going to call. We can't do that for everybody. You got to get through the calls fast. And so I learned, you know what I mean? Learned my lesson. But I want to help everybody. I feel like, oh, they're going through some really hard times right now.
Sorry, bro. We're sold out. But man, if you like show up at the end of the show and hang up with the merch room, I'll fucking make you laugh right there, bro. The show's sold out, bro. I cannot get you in, man. But when the show's over, sneak into the theater, bro, and hang up with the merch room, table, and I'll show up.
I think the worst part, though, is like when you have a concert and the day of the concert, everybody wants to call you and
Lisa,
ask for tickets or ask to get in. And I'm just like, why do they do this the day before the day of the concert?
You know what pissed me off more than the fans calling me up? Family members.
Yeah, it's a lot of family members and friends.
Like, you just realized he was coming here tomorrow.
Motherfucker, I'm about to go up on stage in 1 hour. You think I'm going to fucking get out of the green room and go to the fucking box office?
We're here. We're standing up. We're right in front. Come see us. When you walk out, we're to the right.
Then you tell them you can't? Oh, you're Hollywood now. No, yeah. Motherfucker. How could it be Hollywood? If I was not famous, if I didn't have nothing, I still wouldn't have went out of my way to help you.
Right?
Come on, Ceci, man. You know Chris Brown.
I love
tell
Chris
him,
Brown.
Tell him we want to have a barbecue for him. Have you ever get that?
I get it all the time.
Ceci, just tell Ice Cube we want to take him to dinner.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, my boyfriend works for Snoop, so everybody thinks that we can just call Snoop up. And they're like, can you call Snoop and ask? And we're like, what? Excuse me? It doesn't work that way.
So
at all.
Your husband knows Snoop?
He works for
Snoop.
What's up,
bro? Hook me up with some Louis XIII pre-rolls. I just get it. I'll take it.
It turns green over here.
It's like you want to. You start off being a nice person, but sometimes, you know, and hey, some people know how to use. Take advantage of that.
Oh, everybody does. There's a lot of people that take advantage of it and try, and it's just like, or I get the ones that try to use like reverse psychology on me. Like, oh, I see that you guys are giving away Ice Cube tickets. You know, I've never ever got to see him in concert. I've never
that's
been to
fault.
A concert. You know, I love Ice Cube. That's so good. I wish I could see him. And then you feel bad and you feel guilty and you're like, okay, they're low key trying to ask me for tickets, you know?
Cece, you don't understand, man. It's our anniversary.
I get it, too. I understand.
My mother, my wife, she takes care of 7 kids by herself. She never been anywhere.
and she's not going to be anywhere.
And I just want to make her happy. You know, when that person says, I want to make her happy, I feel like saying, no, motherfucker, you want me to make her happy.
Yeah, exactly.
You failed already, dog.
You failed. I got to pick up where you left off.
You're trying to get it.
You're asking for tickets before the show. That means you fucking suck at the boyfriend.
Yeah.
You suck at the husband. You suck at the person. You don't care about your girlfriend. You don't care about your wife. You just want shit to happen easy.
But you know what's even worse than those people, though? The people that want to get on stage and perform with you or want to get on stage and they're like, God. Hey, let me open up. Hey, go ahead and let me open. What is it going to take? And you're like, what?
Ceci, I just need 2 minutes to say this message on stage
before you go up. 5G.
I want to say a message about DACA before you go up.
Oh, my God.
Or how about 10 shout-outs to people? Give me a shout-out.
Ceci, I know you're a busy woman, but if you could just a shout-out to the Pacheco family. Who drove from Temecula.
That one always kills me because you have to do an hour of material. And in between that, do they think you're going to stop for like 10 shout outs?
Exactly.
To remember 10 shout outs.
There's people that came for a reason.
I'm trying to remember
what's going on.
Ceci, we have the same name. Come on.
Never forget.
You're blessed to have a platform. You know, that's what we need. We need that. You already know.
It?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
The fuck
so, yeah.
Out of here.
Or you get these Latinos that fucking did 5 years of college, got a sociology degree.
Good for you.
A philosophy degree, but have no job. But they're asking you.
Yes.
What are you doing to represent our people?
Oh, I you know what? You get the people that are like, what are you doing? Or you're out there. We did a walk for the homeless and they were like, oh my God, you blocked the streets of LA. And it was like, listen, either we participate or we don't. But I do community events every freaking month. What are you doing? You know, it's just people always rely on you. They want to rely on you to carry all the weight.
I noticed that this morning you didn't even mention DACA once.
You're ducking out on your ass.
We're not going to save the world. We have jobs. You know, at the end of the day, we work for a corporation.
Yeah, I try to explain that to people.
I work for the improv.
I work for power. I work for Katie. Like, at the end of the day, I'm like, do you have a boss? I have a boss, too. And I have to appease my boss just like you have to appease yours. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. But, yeah.
Like, you got to tell the people, Ceci, at the end of the day, I just want my fucking card key to work.
That's it. I just want the
fob to
work.
What about your job?
Yes. I'm just trying to, you know what I'm saying, pay our bills and live life just like everybody else.
Listen, man, I do shout-outs, but only for envelopes.
That's right. Tax them on those shout-outs.
Heap are too much, man.
I noticed that your station doesn't even give up free rent for a year like La Buena.
Oh my God.
No. We do a lot of other things, but yeah. I've done that. I've paid people's bills before. And then you pay their bills and it's not enough.
It's never enough.
When
door.
Do you stop? Yeah.
One last thing before we go, man.
What's up?
I trip out how somehow the same motherfucker get through in the line.
You know, I have a girl that does that, and she goes, and that's all she does is she stays home and she calls radio stations. So she'll tell us, like, oh, I'm coming to pick up tickets from K-Day and Power, and then I'm going to go to Kiss FM across the street. And we're like, damn. She's like, well, this is what I do. That all she does is stay home and call radio stations, and she wins tickets, and then either she sells them or she gives them away. It's so crazy. And she gets in all the time. And then you'll get people that are like, oh, man, I've tried calling you for 2 years and I can't get in. In my head, I'm like, why is this girl getting in every single week? What the hell is she doing?
She has Verizon.
She had nothing else to do.
Right?
What's up, Food Podcast with Ceci La Mamacita. Listen to her on Power 106 in the morning at K-Day.
Yes, from 6
Tell
to 10.
Tell her what you're going
to
be on.
I'm on the J. Crew Show, Power 106 from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And you guys can follow me social media at IMCCCEC Valencia.
Shout out also to that homie that works in us, Jeff Garcia.
Oh, yes. Fan. Yeah, the sports dude, the Jeff Garcia. Widow. He's actually the show producer, too.
Yeah.
You know, I worked for Jeff Garcia, too, when I did mornings, but he was a comedian, not producer.
Okay. What the fuck, dog?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, you know how much money I make from fucking Jimmy Neutron? I didn't fucking need this job.
I fucking hate those fucking hoops.
I don't even know why I fucking do radio, man. I can fucking sell out a fucking show, man. Make more money than I fucking do right now.
See my fucking tax returns or what?
My fucking wife is fucking leaving me again.
Oh, make sure you guys go ahead and follow me at IMCC Valencia.
My fucking breath, my tobacco and ass.
Hey, really quick, congratulations to you. Last week, I couldn't go. I got pulled over. Somebody stole my car tags.
So I got pulled over when I wanted to go and taste your chilaquiles.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I got pulled over. Somebody stole my car tag.
Keeps it real.
You got to do that little slash through it. But can't you say, like,
show them the registration and then see it's paid for?
They still gave me a fix-it ticket.
Oh, what a dick.
Yeah, even though they said your tags are up to date.
You got to do a little slice through your tag.
I know.
Hey, have you seen those people that steal the slices?
No, what? Yeah. That's not real, is it?
Yeah, no, they take each slice. They take each slice.
Shut up. I'm not fucking with you. Oh, my God.
I make a little tear in mine. I do rip a little
piece at a time and then put on a little wax paper.
Oh, that's what I would do if I didn't have tags.
Felipe, it's scary that you know all this.
Hey, man, I'm not always in comedy.
He's like, we don't do
DiCaprio. Have Instagram?
Yes, at IMCC Valencia. Thank you guys so much. Same thing, at IMCC Valencia.
Did you go Torres? Any shows?
Naples, Florida this week.
Lisa, any shows? Tonight, me and her. All right, we go. What's up, fool?